In Amsterdam at this time, in the early 1600s, there was a rabbi, famous rabbi, by the name of Menashe ben Yisroel. Rabbi Menashe ben Yisroel. We have portraits of him by famous Dutch artists. He evidently was a very commanding figure. And he was so well known and so well respected that he was able to get an audience with Cromwell and convince Cromwell to allow the Jews to return to England. And his argument, a very brilliant theological argument, which Cromwell accepted, believe it or not, was that according to Christian theology, the second coming of Jesus cannot occur unless there are Jews in every country in the world. And if he expelled them from England, he's being Maakev de Gula, he's holding back the redemption. And that will be on his head. And Cromwell, who unfortunately believed in what he espoused, he said, well, you're right, as theological as that sounds. And the Jews were allowed to return to England, and the Jews have remained in England ever since the early part of the 17th century. But that was Menashe ben Yisroel, the rabbi of Amsterdam, who was able to accomplish that. Amsterdam was the center of Jewish life in Europe. The Jews in Amsterdam developed the country and developed the city. Those of you who've been in Amsterdam know it's a city of canals, one of the most beautiful cities in Europe. And it was developed by the Jews. The Jews made the city at the mouth of the Amstel River a port, a major port, a center for diamonds, a center of trade. Jews were very active in the East India Company and the Dutch East India Company, which did exploration and colonial, truly the father of imperialism. For instance, the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, which was built in the 1600s, they brought all of the mahogany. They have an enormously beautiful east wall, which is paneled in mahogany, matched mahogany. They brought all the mahogany from Recife, Brazil, in the 1600s. And you can imagine what an undertaking that was, but that's how they thought of themselves. The Jewish community in Amsterdam became a very, very famous community. It also will become famous as, that will be next week's discussion. We'll discuss Spinoza and his excommunication, the rifts in the community, the reasons for the rifts. But the Jewish community in Amsterdam was composed of two sections. One was Spanish Portuguese, the Sephardim, who were the main Jews in the community, and then the Ashkenazic community, which was less wealthy, but it nevertheless had also great grandeur to it. If you go to Amsterdam today, they're in the midst, the Dutch government is in the midst of restoring the Ashkenazic synagogue, the synagogue of the Chacham Tzvi, as a national museum, and they're going to dedicate it, I believe this coming summer marks the 350th anniversary of the synagogue. Just to point out to you how strange God's world is, in 1933, which was the 300th anniversary of the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, that the Dutch government made the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue a national monument, a national museum. And Queen Wilhelmina came to rededicate it. There are famous pictures of her there at the synagogue. So when the Nazis came to Amsterdam in 1940, so by the Germans, you know, the rules are the rules. I'm told that Rabbi Breuer received his pension throughout the Second World War for being a chaplain in the German army in the First World War. So if they would have had him in Germany, they would have killed him. But since they had him here, so they had to pay the pension because the rules are the rules. So